Welcome to the InfoSec Prep Podcast, episode 0. Your hosts today are Dot Batman, Emma, Zephyr, and myself, Tiberius. Today on the show, we talk about some InfoSec news, some server updates, and then Dot Batman is going to talk about his red teaming experiences. But first, a word from our non-sponsor, Raid Shadow Legends. It's a game you can play, I guess.
I guess.
It's an RPG DVD PvP for people with ADHD.
Okay, guys. Welcome to the first podcast, because the last one was technically the Xerath podcast. So we're going to do a quick news roundup. I sent you guys some links earlier, so hopefully some of you read them. The first thing we'll talk about was something that came up on my Reddit feed, I think yesterday. It was apparently someone discovered that private WhatsApp chat invites were being indexed by Google. That you could literally do like a Google Doc for, I think it was chat.whatsapp.com or something. And a bunch of them were just being indexed and you could literally join private chats. So I think that's kind of funny, but it goes to show how Google Docing is very much a thing.
Yeah, on one hand, I'm like, hey, Facebook insecure, more at 11.
Right.
Well, it's Facebook. They know everything. And it's also Google. They also know everything about you, so it's not really a surprise.
Yeah.
It's not. I'm kind of interested, though, how, like, they got the actual invite codes anyway. Like, were people actually posting these online, or was it some kind of, like, I read through the article and I couldn't see really many details about it. So I guess that's something that might come out over the next few days. Is exactly why these are being indexed, or if it was just random people posting them.
I mean, do we know how Google's web crawlers work? How is it finding these?
I'm pretty sure Google web crawlers start off at like a URL, then they go to all the links within the URL.
That's how they're supposed to work, but I have no idea. Like,
that's why I was assuming that they work, but I mean, there's got to be some more nuance to it, I guess, since they're finding these chats.
I mean, yeah, if you post it online, then it's probably going to be online somewhere.
Google's running auto recon.
The whole thing with Google docking in the first place was it's like finding passwords. So it just seems weird that there would be a link to a password file somewhere like that often. So I do wonder whether there's something extra going on with the Google web crawler. Like it tries just random files as well. But
maybe it's doing some directory brute forcing to try and find hidden stuff. That's what I'm guessing.
Potentially. Or there's a really misconfigured WhatsApp server out there that it found, which would be very strange.
Well, it said here it's an intentional product decision. Like, they didn't even award a bounty for this. Like, this, it's apparently intentional that you can find people's private WhatsApp chats this way.
Really?
Yeah, that's what this article says.
Not a flaw, it's a feature.
Right. That's like it's such an excuse these days.
It's intended. Like that's when they were found to be storing clear text credentials. They're like, this is intended functionality.
It reminds me of a pen test I did. I found SQL injection. And the customer like said, no, you did it with the admin account, that's fine. It's like, okay.
Now, I get that a lot on assessments that like I find remote code execution through the admin panel, I would say like 80% of the time. Mm-hmm. And they're just like, well, it's only admins would have access to that. And I'm like, well, I found I found stored cross-site scripting and cross-site request forgery in your site too, which means anyone is an admin that really wants it badly enough. So getting companies to understand that a hacker is going to exploit more than one vulnerability in a web app is like pulling teeth in 2020.
Yeah. But not only that, there's like a massive difference between an admin on a website and a sysadmin a lot of the time. So it's like, okay, you need to be an admin to access that interface, but is that admin also a member of your sysadmin team? Probably not. moving on to the second news article. This was actually a medium.com article that got taken down. No wonder, really. We found it via archive.org. It's the title is "I Hacked Slick Wraps, This Is How." And it seems like this Slick Wraps Inc., which is apparently a Kansas-based phone accessories company, had this insanely vulnerable app. Some guy hacked it, then tried to reach out to Slick Wraps to like inform them and get some bug bounties or something, and they sort of ghosted him. And instead of like, you know, continuing or try to reach someone directly, he just posted everything on medium.com, which I gotta say up front, don't do if you're in this situation.
Yeah, to all the fledgling pen testers who may or may not be listening, this is not the correct way to handle a company that's not going to give you a bounty, or that the try that you're, when you're trying to get a bounty, this is not the correct way to handle it.
Yeah, I mean, so in my experience, I've been incredibly lenient with one of my CVEs took like almost a year to get them to move on. But they did, and they eventually they were extremely friendly about it. But like, if you're one of those people who are like, oh, well, if they don't respond after 3 weeks, I'm just going to publicize it. You know, that's not responsible disclosure. I don't know anyone in the industry who would accept that as responsible disclosure.
I mean, medium.com. I thought Twitter was a zero-day platform.
Or were the place to dump your password dumps.
Okay. So the final news item that we have to discuss, this is from the Register. Apple drops a bomb on long life HTTPS certificates. Safari to snub new certificate, new security certs valid for more than 13 months. So this is the idea that apparently, although Apple haven't released it yet, there were a certificate authority conference, which apparently exists, and they announced that they were going to not trust certificates that had expiration dates older than 398 days. And that's going to go into effect September of this year. So this is kind of like one of those things where it's like security versus usability. It's ideal that you renew your certificates regularly. So actually this could be seen as a good thing, especially if certificates get compromised. But on the other hand, Apple is saying, okay, well, if you run a website, you have to renew your certs practically every year. Whereas in the past, people could buy certs for like 2 to 3, I think even like 5 years.
Well, I mean, most people just use Let's Encrypt, which is 90 days anyways. On the smaller end of thing. But if you're a big company, you're paying people for that.
Yeah, I wouldn't say most people use Let's Encrypt, though. I think a lot of people do, but I think it's still kind of a minor player. I know a lot of people use Cloudflare's free one.
Oh, yeah, but that's all managed by Cloudflare, so.
Right, and they're a CA. Or at least they have access to a CA. But, I mean, to be honest, I got involved with SSL and TLS years ago, and it's just, if you ever do any research in certificate authorities, the entire system is a massive joke. It's pretty much just held together with string.
But isn't that most of IT?
Yeah, but we're talking about SSL and TLS. This is kind of this is supposed to be securing the internet.
Also, Cloudflare isn't a CA. They're behind Baltimore CyberTrust root.
Okay.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
I know they just sign. They have the ability to just sign certs. Right?
Yeah, they're so mid authority, whatever that is, like between
intermediate. Yeah, that makes sense. No, that's another thing. That's the other thing. Like, if you don't even have to be a root CA, you can just be an intermediate CA. and you can break the entire system, which, you know, is insane. But I guess maybe that's a topic for another podcast. Is Tiberius rants about SS 30 minutes?
So, I also posted a new news article as well.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to introduce that?
In recent news, New Mexico sues Google over stealing children's data from their education platform, because apparently schools signing up kids for G3 education breaches the children's data because they don't get parental consent. What is your thoughts?
That's interesting.
Well, I mean, kind of, but go ahead.
COPPA isn't worldwide, though. It's a thing that's suffered.
I mean, I would just say that, like, Google is collecting everyone's data. Like, all the time.
Well, that's true enough. But then, you know the new YouTube COPPA rules? It's like, apparently a child saying they're over 13 is not good enough. But then again, Pornhub, everyone gets around that.
I think it's so chaotic. If you're like a global company and you have to follow like all these new regulations that come out and different. So I can kind of see Google's side of this. Like it's insanely difficult to know where a product stands, and especially if you have to implement checks for different countries. But saying that, they are a multi-billion dollar company. They probably should have had someone sort of make that decision earlier on. So I guess, yeah, it'll go to lawsuit at some point, and I don't know what's going to happen. Google probably won't pay a dime.
Google denied all wrongdoing, though.
Well, of course they did.
Well, naturally, yeah.
I mean, as a company, even if you did do something, literally the playbook, you just deny it, and then in court, because of denial.
Then you settle because, like, you know, you were actually doing the thing that you were denying.
Right, like publicly denying something has absolutely no protection. You can say that as a lie, and it won't get you in any trouble. And if you admit it in court, fine. But
that's how American politics works.
All right, so that was the news roundup. So we will enter the quick server updates section. But before we do, another quick announcement from our non-sponsor, Raid Shadow Legends. Pay $1,000 and you win. Because it is, of course, a freemium game. We all know what that means. So, quick server updates. I think we've pretty much got just one, other than this podcast exists now. So I guess that's technically one. The only one I wanted to mention was if you are an OSCP certified member, which means you've been verified by the staff team, you should check out the Hacksaws Only channel. For those who don't know what I'm talking about, it's the secret channel that only people who have been verified to have passed OCP can see. So if you aren't verified yet, get verified. I have posted a survey, which is a quick thing of, I think, like 6 or 7 questions, just trying to get some insight on OSCP pass rates, how people pass the exam, you know, the point distributions, which of the 5 machines people got the most, for instance, and how preparation goes into that. So there's a few questions on it. How many lab hosts did you act completely pwn, and how many days in the lab did you buy? So I think we've had like 23 responses so far, which is absolutely great. But if you are listening to this and you haven't responded, please go in there and just search for my name and find the link.
It's pinned.
It's pinned, apparently. Awesome. Okay, so without further ado, I'm going to pass over to Doc Batman, and he is going to talk about his red teaming experiences. So take it away, Doc Batman.
Okay, so I mean, I've told this story before, and everyone thinks it's a really interesting story. So I recommended it for content on our new podcast. So last year I had a very big client whose name I still can't say because I'm bound by a non-disclosure agreement. But for all intents and purposes, we will refer to them as Company X. This company spent in like multiple hundreds of thousands of dollars I work for a consulting firm, so I was being contracted out by this company to perform security testing from a variety of angles. They were based in a city in which I do not live, so I had to travel to that city every single week and then travel home at the end of the week, and I got 2 days at home, and then I had to do it all again. And I did that for 2 straight months. And then there were between two and four weeks before then that I tested them remotely as well. So I'm just giving you the idea of the scope of this client, because they are the most robust client I have ever tested. Like, they apparently had a breach a couple of years ago, a big breach. This is a large financial institution style company, and that's why I can't say the name. But they basically got an enormous security budget, and so they went absolutely balls to the wall with security, and they have a requirement to do a yearly pen test. So that's what my company was there for, and I was selected for this engagement. So what I will talk, I'm not going to talk about the whole thing, because like there was a lot to talk about with this client. I developed custom tools, I wrote custom backdoors, I wrote custom phishing phishing links for them to click on and stuff like that, like when we were doing the remote test. But I'm going to talk about the more unique version, which is where they wanted me to pose as a company in their, or as a employee, excuse me, in their company, and try to exfiltrate data and escalate my privileges from the inside. Like, they literally onboarded me I had to go through the background check and everything with their HR as an employee in their company. And then I got a badge to go in like one of their regular employees and then sit at one of their desks and try to test them from the inside. So this took place over 6 weeks. I was in there probably 6 weeks. I was testing this client. So this is a very long period of time that this took place over. But you get in and like, I'm not even allowed to bring my own stuff. Like, I have to use the laptop they gave me, which was a shockingly beefy. Like, it had an i7 and 32 gigs of RAM in it. Like, for a company laptop, I'm like, this thing was big. Like, this thing, it was a chonker. It was a chonker of a laptop. As soon as I booted it up and like got IT to, get my account figured out so I could actually log in as an employee into their company. Like, of course they were using full disk encryption and all of this business. I get logged in and I can see why their laptops are so beefy, because without me even doing anything, I'm literally just sitting at the desktop. I open the task manager and I see literally 14 gigabytes of RAM is in use. And I can see, like, just scanning the task manager, I can see 4 separate security, like, endpoint protection solutions in place. Like, I'm not going to say specifically which ones, but there was so much security on this laptop. It was insane. I was like, well, I'm just not even going to open the command line. If I even open the command line, this thing is going to go off. Like, this, an alarm's probably going to go off in the building. Like, if I so much as try to run a net use command, for God's sake. So like I just started for the better part of 2 weeks, all I was really doing was browsing the internet, the internal company intranet, basically, if I run net user, I was afraid that I accidentally stumbled into their SOC by accident. Their SOC looks exactly like all the rest of the cubicle farm. And I walked in and I saw a DEF CON shirt and I'm like, I really don't want to be here. So I just kind of wandered through there. No one paid me a second mind, but their SOC was huge. Like, they had there were probably 20 people in there. Like, what is everyone doing all day? Like, just staring at the airwaves in their company. And I'm just like, God damn, what am I going to get done in here? Apparently last year, like, I was not on my company's team then. But last year with this client, the team that we sent was discovered like on the second day. So And they were really smug about it too. When I talked with this client, like in the with their heads of security and stuff, they were really smug. They were like, "Well, I just don't think you guys are going to get very far. Like, we've really beefed up our security from last year. Blah blah blah." Like, really smug. So I have an axe to grind as I'm walking in. So I really just want to get somewhere with this client. So first, I go looking for their code repository because they have tons of like software engineers and stuff and like development stuff happening. So I go look for their code repository. And I found it. I found their Bitbucket repository, which is just open for everyone in the company to access. Like no credentials required, no requirement to be in software dev at all. Like there was no link to it. I just went through subdomains like Git and Bitbucket and stuff like that in the internal company intranet, and I found it. And it's just I found literally terabytes of internal company source code. And it turned out they wanted me to see if I could do something like that, like exfiltrate data from the inside. They were really afraid of an insider threat. So I talked it over with my team. I was the only one behind the enemy lines at that time. But I would like call up my team every day and have a chat about what I should get up to. And we talked it through and we were like, okay, go ahead and try and exfiltrate data. So I go and try and exfiltrate data. They actually had some kind of solution in place to detect encrypted data going over the network that they couldn't decrypt. Like they had blue code in place to do SSL stripping. And apparently if blue code couldn't decrypt the data to read the clear text, they were just blocking everything. Like, so I could exfiltrate data unencrypted, but I couldn't exfiltrate it encrypted. I didn't actually exfiltrate their data, to be fair. I didn't want to breach the client, so I exfiltrated some. I downloaded some of their source code, but then scrambled it and like made it. I just downloaded some of my own code and like I uploaded something that looked like code to one of our companies. So one of our teams, one of our team's servers, just something that looked like code, just as a proof of concept, not any of their actual source code. And we actually managed to exfiltrate it. And they didn't even know about that until after the test had been done. The test was done after all the other stuff I did, which I haven't even gotten into yet. So we did actually manage to exfiltrate data, even though we couldn't encrypt it. They were catching it if it was encrypted. So after that, they decided they wanted me to be more aggressive. They're like, okay, so try to escalate privileges now. Like, try to get admin on the laptop. I'm like, oh boy, here we go. I don't know how this is going to work. Like, they were using a slightly out of date version of Windows 10. But it was not like so out of date that I knew that there were some exploits for it, but like I was afraid to run anything on this machine without it popping one of the thousands of tripwires that were placed for me on this machine for me to pop. They had Power Broker in place, which made it even harder. It was rough. For a while I was concerned about what to do. Like you couldn't even download any software from the internet. Like if I wanted to install Firefox, and I found this out on day one, if I want to install Firefox, I have to go to their own internal company app store. Like it's not really a store, but it's just a list of approved software that you download from companies. They have like versions of approved software on their own company servers that you can download and install. And that's all you're allowed to install from. That's literally all you're allowed to install. So I was like, okay, well, I want Firefox. So I download Firefox, and this is important. How the App Store works is important, which is why I'm going into it. So I download Firefox, and like what happens is you put it in your cart and you check out, and then it'll send you an email saying, okay, your installation of Firefox should start shortly. And then I get a notification, like one of those Windows 10 notifications in the bottom right that says software is installing in the background or something like that. And then right after it's done, Firefox just opened on its own. Just like a window just opened all on its own. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. So the software opens automatically upon being installed. So what I deduced is actually happening, and I deduced this by talking to IT. Like I literally went to IT to try to find out how the App Store was working. And they said, well, we have an automated system that logs into your machine with administrative credentials and installs this stuff for you. And I'm like, and inside in my head, I was like, administrative credentials. Interesting. So, and Firefox was opening all on its own. So whatever solution they were using was opening Firefox. And I'm like, is it running did it run Firefox as administrator? And I just didn't even notice. So at this point, I knew that there's a bunch of software devs, and they had Microsoft Visual Studio in the App Store. And I know Visual Studio has a shell function. Like, you can just run terminal commands inside of Visual Studio. So I'm like, if I just install Visual Studio, is it just going to run as administrator, like, after I install it? Like, and then I'll just be able to run execute shell commands as administrator? And so I went, and this is purely on a lark. I was like, I had no idea if this was going to work or not. So I went ahead and installed Visual Studio. And sure enough, just like with Firefox, I get the little notification like, hey, Visual Studio is installing in the background. And then it opens, and God damn it, it says administrator. Right, like right there in the title bar, it says it has a little administrator in brackets. I'm like, oh, God damn, it's just that easy, isn't it? So, like, this just goes to show you, like, as robust as this client was, like, God, they were obsessed with security. It was crazy. Like just the stuff that was running on the laptop doesn't even cover it. They had so many other things in place, like to prevent breaches. Like, they had their employees trained like crazy to avoid phishing scenarios. It was nuts how obsessed with security they were. And yet this tiny little flaw rooted the machine just right off the bat. So now I can execute shell commands as administrator, and no one had any idea. Like, I was at this point expecting men in suits just come up and like grab me out of my seat, because apparently that's what happens when this company catches you. They just show up at your they just show up, and they're just like, hey, like, we just need your laptop, and then they escort you out, and that's pretty much it. But no one showed up. They didn't know a goddamn thing. Like, I talked with my team, and they're like, nope, our guy says they haven't detected anything from your laptop. And I'm like, oh, yeah, boy, we're in. And so I tell them what I did, and they're like, whoa, okay, so you're administrator now. We didn't even manage that last year. We didn't manage to get root on the laptop last year. So we have root on the laptop. And they're like, well, what do we do now? And I'm saying, well, I'm afraid to run anything, even as administrator. All I've run is who am I? And stuff like that, because I'm afraid anything else is going to get caught. So what can we do to escalate privileges? So they have if you guys don't know, they had they're using a solution called CyberArk, which you may or may not have run into. Basically, it's an internal corporate password solution that changes domain admin passwords on a daily basis, and you have to log into their portal and like check out a password that's only valid for a certain amount of time. It's basically to prevent me from stealing the domain admin password. So I basically need someone I need to run Mimikatz to get a domain admin password, obviously. But I don't know how to do that because we're not really sure where to go from here. Like, I can get a Mimikatz that runs, but I'm afraid to like try and run it, and no one had logged into my machine. Then it kind of hit me that while I was getting set up with IT, I had asked how to uninstall things, because you literally have so little rights on this laptop, you cannot even uninstall software. Someone has to log in for you and do it. And I was like, well, what if I actually sent their IT an email and said, hey, what if I want to install Visual Studio, for instance, like or uninstall some software from my machine? What do I do? And they're like, just contact our IT team and they'll have someone remote in and take care of that for you. And I'm like, really? Someone's going to remote into my laptop my laptop on which I have administrative rights and then just uninstall this software for me. Fantastic. So I called up their IT and I said, hey, I need this software uninstalled. I really just don't want it on my computer anymore. Do you mind? And he remoted into my machine. And he took control of the desktop and stuff. And he put it, it was so funny. I saw him type in the password, he had to enter administrative credentials, like domain admin credentials in order to uninstall or enter his credentials to uninstall the software. And I was like, oh boy, those juicy, juicy credentials. And then right after he was done, I had Mimikatz in the shell minimized and ready to run. So I knew I had very little time. Like, I knew as soon as I ran Mimikatz, they were going to catch it. There was no way this client was going to miss Mimikatz running on one of their machines. But if I could run Mimikatz, get domain admin credentials, and log into the domain administrator or domain controller before they got to me, I could at least show that I could get there. So like right after he uninstalled the software and he was like, thanks, that's all I need. And he got off and then I immediately maximized it and I hit the enter key and boom, there's his credentials. And it's some crazy freaking password that CyberArk had generated. And then I just tried to log into the domain controller and boom, I'm in. I had a shell on the domain controller as the men in suits were showing up and I was just getting screenshots. So they were, this client was alarmed by that, by how I was able to not only gain root on the laptop and how I was able to escalate to the domain controller just from simple ingenuity. Like this is a lot of the clients want to see this sort of thing where you think outside the box a little bit. Sometimes the solutions are not altogether technical. You just got to be a little bit creative with the way you exploit these clients. So that's really the moral of the story, I guess, is like, just if you're in a really high security environment like this, just try dumb stuff like I did and you'll get lucky, I suppose, possibly. That's the whole story, unless you guys want to make comments on it and stuff.
I definitely want to make comments.
go off with your comments, like make all the comments you want.
Firstly, that's an awesome story. I love it.
I 100% verify that story is 100% true. I know, like, you can't believe anything you hear on the internet or whatever, but that story, as I just told it, is 100% true. It every word of that story happened.
Speaking as an experienced penetration tester, I totally 100% believe you. and you're absolutely right. So much of penetration testing is sort of just creativity, but it's like a hidden layer of using what you have. So yeah, thank you very much for sharing. That was awesome.
So
the one thing
flagged?
Was
Mimikatz flagged?
Yes, I asked them about it, and they said that's why they came to get me, because they detected Mimikatz running on my machine. So Mimikatz uses Reflect, even if you're using the PowerShell version, it uses it reflectively loads a couple of DLLs into memory that are not usually loaded by other programs, and so that's how they detect it.
That makes sense.
But they did detect the Mimikatz running.
One thing that I think people what's the best way to say this? There's like a lack of understanding. Is the thing you brought up the first way you got admin, which is via Visual Studio. And actually, this is a lecture that I do in my course that I'm about to release on Windows Privesc. If you have any GUI application running with admin privileges, and I mean any, there are so many ways to spawn a command prompt. Mm-hmm. Windows has so much functionality just like built into it. That even if you have an app really that you can do file open, and it uses the Windows built-in file open sort of pop-up box, you can pretty much spawn a command prompt from that. And of course, because the program is running as admin, and the command prompt is technically a child process, that child process is going to have admin. It's totally believable that you could you probably didn't even have to use Visual Studio. You probably could have done it via Firefox.
No, as an addendum to the story, the test went on for a couple of weeks after I managed to get domain admin. Basically, they corrected all of the issues that I showed them, and we just came on board, and then we did sort of a purple team assessment where we just coordinated with their defensive guys and did a more aggressive assessment just to see what else we could get into. And they corrected. Apparently, that was a really simple flaw. Like in their App Store code, they just had to turn off the "Hey, run as soon as it opens" functionality. They had it fixed at the end of that day. Apparently, they had fixed it. But then we just got admin through another program the next day. Like there was literally a program on that App Store that always ran as administrator no matter what. And we were afraid they would take that away from us, so we didn't even tell them about it until the last day. And they didn't even know how we were getting admin. They were like, "How are you guys getting admin on your laptops?" And we just ignored their emails. Like, because we didn't want them to take away our admin access because we needed it to do the rest of our things. And we knew they were going to take it away. So, like, there's always some, like, just like you said, there's always some dumb thing you can do, especially on Windows, to escalate your privileges.
It's funny because long before I ever thought about getting into hacking or pen testing, when I was in desktop support, I used to do stuff like that to run things as admin that I normally couldn't. And it's just now occurring to me, it's like, I actually know a lot of privileged things I can do. Like, for some reason, there's just some things, I think they're usually like some MSIs or standalone patchers. If I right click them, they didn't have the option to run as admin. So I would just run Notepad as admin, go to open file, browse to where that file is, and just right click run, and it would run as admin.
Yeah. Windows is terrible. Like, legit terrible.
Just now discovering that.
No, I've known it for years. It's, you think, I mean, you go through, like, me, it was like, you know, teenage years on the internet, going through the whole Windows versus Linux versus Mac debates, and, you know, the people were saying, oh, you know, Windows is just targeted because it's the most popular. No. And then, like, you become a pen tester, and you're like, actually, no, Windows is targeted because it's really bad. Like, it's just, fundamentally.
It is certainly designed in a sort of, it's designed for more usability rather than security. So
right.
It does have flaws in that regard.
Yeah.
The other comment I want to make, again, this is just my experience from working desktop support. I'm surprised the IT guys who are helping you had domain admin, because where I used to work, they just they had a security group in AD that they pushed out to all workstations for group policy, and like help desk and desktop support, we had that role. So we had admin on workstations, but we didn't have like server or domain credentials or permissions or anything like that. I'm kind of surprised this company so obsessed with security didn't think to do that with their help desk.
Well, like, apparently, apparently these credentials were not really. Okay, yeah, to clarify, like, that, those particular, like, apparent, like, they clarified this to me very briefly. They didn't really want to go into extensive details because we were still testing them at this time, and they didn't want us to, like, exploit them further. They were really obsessed with not being shown up. But they did say that. Though that I was lucky to have gotten those particular credentials, like that admin should not have used those credentials. He said he messed up. They said that he picked the wrong credential option. I didn't see their cyber arc, so I don't know what options for credentials that they have. All I know is I got their credentials and I was able to log into the domain controller with them, and I had administrative control of the domain controller. So for all intents and purposes, I was domain admin.
Okay.
So I don't remember if it was specifically a domain admin account that I had. The domain admin accounts were all like, there were none that I could see, like, by querying the domain. Like, it didn't actually tell me which accounts had domain admin access. I think they had some kind of fluid account creation process happening whenever a domain admin account was needed. I don't know exactly what their system was, but I know I could log into the domain controller with the credentials I had. So. It's kind of unclear to me exactly how it worked, but for all intents and purposes, I was domain admin until the men in suits showed up.
Come with us, Mr. Anderson.
Yeah, exactly. But they had, like, this is the most intense setup I've ever seen. Like, they had every security solution that most of the security solutions I'm even aware of. So they were really, really robust. But again, like, don't get discouraged as a pen tester if you come across a client like that, because there's always flaws.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Doc Batman. So yeah, that's the end of the podcast. We will come up with a new subject for next time, which we're hoping to do this every month. And at some point have Jerry Blanks on to talk about hash cracking, which I think will be a really interesting session. But yeah, thanks very much for watching. And if you can, subscribe to our podcast. And
download Rage Shadow Legends.
Yeah, especially if you have mommy's credit card. I hear the game is great if you have mommy's credit card. The mommy's credit card DLC unlocked.